Let's take our Bibles and let's consider the Word for a few moments here if we can. And we are going to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. God willing, we're going to stay here for several weeks. We're working our way through the entire chapter. Just kind of living here in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a great place to live. Because it is all about faith and how others are examples unto us in the way that we should live our lives by and through faith. So far we have seen the example of Abel and how he offered unto God his faith. And it was acceptable in God's sight, and we talked about the offering of faith and how important it is. In the life of a Christian, I guess I ought to turn this on. They're probably wondering if I'm going to do that back there. All right, I think I've got it on. Can you hear me? All right. And we've also seen the example of Enoch and the testimony of faith that he had. It was such a great testimony that Hebrews chapter 11 declares he pleased God. And that ought to be the goal of every believer, of every Christian, and faith allows us to please the Lord. It brings God glory when we live our lives by faith. Faith allows us to see His amazing provision. It's wonderful that God is one who can meet our need in every way possible. And when we trust Him through faith, by faith, then He allows us to see His amazing provision. Also, faith allows us the opportunity to testify of His goodness. David said in the Psalms, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men." And sometimes we neglect to do that. But if you're living a life of faith, then you're going to see God's provision, and you need to testify of that to others, and it will point them to Him and cause them to consider their need for Him in their life. Tonight I want to show you that faith also supplies and provides for those who know the Lord an important benefit. It is a benefit that I call protection or shelter. And we sang songs about that theme or that thought tonight, a shelter in the time of storm, leaning on the everlasting arms. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 7, we see another example of faith in regards to the way that it protects one who knows the Lord. The example is Noah. I want you to look at that verse with us, if you will. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:7, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." The Bible says here that Noah was warned of God. Have you ever had a warning from God? Have you ever heard God reveal something to you that could be considered a warning that you should heed, something that you should take consideration of, something that you should follow? God speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Word of God. He speaks to us through a man of God. He speaks to us through a lesson in a Sunday school class, through a sermon that is being delivered behind a pulpit. These are the ways that God speaks to us. Sometimes God speaks to us through circumstances in our life. Things that happen, we are told, for a purpose. All things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. So any little thing that God can use to deliver a message to us, He'll use. And we should be willing to listen to Him. The Bible here says that Noah was a man who was warned of God. He heard God speak. He heard a message from Him. And as a result, the Scripture tells us that he was moved with fear. Sometimes that is the emotion that we experience when we hear God speak. It causes fear to come to our heart. It causes maybe some worry to well up inside of us. The fear that I think maybe Noah experienced was not so much over the situation that the Lord was revealing, but the fact that God chose to speak to such a man as Noah, a man who was just like every other man, a man who was human, a man who really was not an exceptional man, except that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we're told. He was a man who was trying to live righteous before God and please God through his faith. And so Noah spoke to God, and when Noah heard God speak, he was filled with fear or reverence and respect unto God that he would consider him in the midst of what God was about to do. And as a result of having faith in God, the Bible tells us something wonderful happened to Noah and his family. They received God's protection. The Bible says that as God condemned the world, and we know the story, how he did that through a flood, and it's recorded in the book of Genesis, that Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And the Bible tells us even there in that verse that it was to the saving of his house. It wasn't just in regards to him, but his family was spared and saved as a result of the faith of this man, Noah. They were protected. And here's the lesson that I think this example has for you and I. You see, as we hear and believe and respond to the Word of God by faith, then we too can expect to be protected from the evils of this world, from everything that is going on around us. Noah lived in a wicked day, we're told in the book of Genesis. It was a time where every imagination of the mind was being fulfilled, being carried out. Men were doing very wicked things. And it brought God to the place where it says he repented that he even made man. He wondered why he even did that. And as a result, he knew that judgment needed to be served. And so he sent the flood upon the face of the earth. But before that, he found Noah, a righteous man in the eyes of God. And he said, I'm going to choose to protect you and your family by preparing an ark for you and having you enter into it. So we see through the example of Noah that it is possible to experience the protection of faith. And we have other illustrations in the Word of God as well about this great truth. You remember Daniel in the book of Daniel, and how that as he was taken captive and instructed to not pray before his God, that he did so anyway, and he was cast into a den of lions, and yet he experienced the protection of faith. God saw to it that he was protected. And his counterparts, the three Hebrew boys, they also were protected by their faith, and God preserved their lives, all because they chose to practice and live by faith. Here in Hebrews, God provides Noah's testimony to undergird this truth that we have a protecting God. He was a man of God who was living in a wicked world, and yet God found him and said, I'll protect you. I want you to see two things in particular about God's word and how it protects us in our faith. When we live by faith, there are two forms of protection that are available to you and I. First of all, God's word warns us, I believe, of unseen dangers. He warns us through his word, or when he speaks to us in different forms, of the unseen dangers that are present around us. The Bible makes it clear that before the flood, it didn't rain upon the earth. Noah was a man who had never experienced a rainstorm. He had never been caught without an umbrella. Up to this point, he didn't know what rain was. It was an unseen danger that was coming to the world. And Noah was a man who was on the earth who was just as much a part of the human race as anyone else. But God's word spoke to him and warned him of the unseen danger that was coming. It was a danger in regards to judgment. It was a danger in regards to sin that had been carried out in men's lives, and an answer was required. You can't get by sinning against God. There's going to come a judgment day. And when that day comes, You need to be protected by faith. You need to be protected by God's shelter of or umbrella of faith. And so we see here that there were hidden dangers in Noah's day that God protected him from. And there are dangers in our day that God protects us from. What are some of the dangers that we're confronted with in our day and time? Unseen dangers. Well, the Bible warns us of a tempter, one who is going to come to us and try to get us to be disobedient unto God, one who is going to mislead us and cause us to break God's word. The devil is real. He is a living creature, and he is a powerful being. He works very hard to lead us that know the Lord and the world who doesn't yet know him into believing that he really doesn't exist, that he's dead, that he's a fake, and that even at best, he's nothing more than a fun-loving person who wants to give you some enjoyment in your life. But that's a lie. And we need to be warned of the tempter. The Bible warns us in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 of that very thing. We're told, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I'm thankful that the Bible tells us of the tempter, the one who seeks to mislead us and get us to give in to tempting things. We're given the tools necessary to overcome and avoid his temptations. In 1 John 4, in verse number 4, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When we submit ourselves, as James said, to God, then we resist the devil and he will flee from us. When we surrender to God's will for our life, then we have the umbrella of protection about us that God is willing to extend and show us. I'm afraid, however, that too many people today give the devil an open door, and they entertain the thoughts of the tempter, and they invite him into their lives. Instead of resisting, they give in, only to be misled, only to experience heartbreak and discouragement in their life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that when you're angry, you should not sin, and you shouldn't let the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither should you give place to the devil. You see, when the devil comes, we need to say, I'm not listening to you. I'm not entertaining that thought. I'm not opening the door. I'm slamming it shut, and you're not welcome here. Every time that you do that, the devil gets the message that he needs to go somewhere else, that he can't get a foothold in your life. So I'm thankful that God's word warns us of unseen dangers in regards to the tempter and the way that he tries to mislead us. We're also to be warned of temptation. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In order to deal with temptation from the tempter, you have to deal with your own lust. You have to admit that you're a sinful human being. You have to admit that you're nothing but flesh. And in this flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And our eyes see things that they ought not to see, even without trying to see them, even without setting out to see them. Sometimes we just see those things, and before we realize it, we are tempted by those things. That's why advertising is used so greatly through the media, because the eye gate is something that they know can be appealed to. When we see that, we say, oh yeah, that's something that I would like. And we need to deal with temptation by dealing with our own lust. 1 Peter 4 and verse 2 says that a Christian should no longer live the rest of his time in the life or in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Our lives are different as a result of knowing Jesus. And our goals should be different. We should set out to please God in whatever we do. Whether we eat or drink, we ought to glorify God, we're told. Temptation, however, is common to each of us. Thankfully, however, it is something that God was diligent in warning us about in the Word of God. What will you do with the warning, though, is the question that you need to consider. God always gives us a way out of temptation. He always makes a way of escape. He will help us to be able to get away from it if we do the right thing. The Lord Jesus tried to warn Peter of temptation in his life. Following the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples, as they were making their way out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave a very serious warning to his disciples. He said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." But he said, if that happens, or when that happens, I will rise again, and I will come once again to you. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times, Peter, you're going to be offended of me. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. What Peter was saying was, Lord, there's no way that I'll ever turn my back on you. No way that I'll ever speak wrongly about you. But he did, didn't he? You know the story. In order to prepare Peter for that temptation, Jesus took him to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Peter, get on your knees and pray. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. What was God doing? He was warning him of temptation and of the tempter, and he was telling him that there's a way of escape. There's always a way of escape, folks. There's always a back door if you'll look for it, if you're interested in seeing where God has placed it. But you have to have a plan of action in your life, and you have to be committed to it. You have to stick to it. You have to say, this is my evacuation plan. When the temptation comes, when you walk through our building, if you're a member of a Sunday school class, in various places you'll see evacuation pages or papers posted on the wall in that room. And it is for the purpose of an emergency happening, a storm or a fire. When that happens, we need to know the escape route. When the fire of temptation comes, you better know the evacuation plan. You better know where the exits are. And you better run to him as quickly as you possibly can. Noah had a plan in place, and he had to make the choice to stay committed to that plan on a daily basis. The temptation was great around him, and he could have given in at any time, but he resisted. He didn't compromise. He didn't quit. He didn't walk away from God's plan for his life. And as a result, his family and his life was protected. We see that God saw the wickedness of man, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But in the midst of all that, he saw one righteous man, and he said, I'll protect him. He was warned. He was warned also, and we are warned, of the consequences that are sure to come when we give in to the tempter and the temptation. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you realize that every act we do in life is a seed that is being sown? Every kind deed that you do is a seed that is being sown, and every evil deed that you do is a seed that is being sown into the fields of our lives. And we never stop sowing seeds. We never get to the place where our garden is complete. So it is not a matter of if we're sowing seeds, but it is a matter of what we're sowing. What are you putting out in the garden of your life? What kind of seed do you scatter throughout your day? And does it matter what kind of seed you sow? You know, the truth of the matter is that whatsoever we sow, that is what we're going to reap. When we sow sparingly, then we reap sparingly. When we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. And if we sow to our flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh. When we sow to the Spirit, then we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you take an orange seed and you plant it in the ground, do you have any idea what you're going to get? You're going to get an orange tree, aren't you? If you wait it out, if you're patient enough and you do the necessary things, before long an orange seed will come forth. The same is true with an apple seed. The same is true with a grapefruit seed or a pineapple seed or any seed that you put into the ground. I wonder if I ever put an apple seed into the ground, if I could possibly get a coconut tree to come forth. I like coconuts. They're a great delicacy, and I would enjoy that. I wonder if it would ever be possible to plant an orange seed or an apple seed and get a coconut tree. What do you think? No. And you know that, you know why that is? Because we haven't sown the coconut seed. You have to invest the seed and be willing to spread it so that you see the fruit that you desire come forth. You'll never reap a righteous life if you hang out in the clubs, if you go to the bars, if you speak foul language, if you get angry and have an attitude that is sour and bad before others, if you listen to worldly music, if you watch filthy movies, if you read dirty magazines. Those things aren't going to cultivate the fruit that God desires in your life and that you as a Christian should want to bring forth. We need to listen to God's Word, and as it speaks to us, we need to abstain from those things. The Bible says, avoid evil and even the appearance of it we are to abstain from. We ought not to ever try to be found in a compromising position where someone could point a finger or be misled that we're doing something that we ought not to do as a child of God. We make enough mistakes, honestly, in our Christian life, don't we? We fail a lot of times and sin naturally without even recognizing it most times. But we ought not to on purpose set out to do things that are disobedient before the Lord, because there's a consequence coming. If we sow obedience, then we're told we're going to reap God's protection. We won't be judged. We'll have judged ourselves. And we won't have to fear the things that God will do to men who choose to do sinful things. We must sow to the Spirit so that we're able to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So we see that God's Word warns us of unseen dangers. The second thing that I want you to consider is God's Word protects us with useful direction. God's Word provides us a map, if you will, or a guide filled with directions that are useful to our life. In Noah's day, God's Word came to him personally, and he revealed to him his plan for building the ark. Noah just didn't throw that thing together by some idea that he had in his mind. There's no way that it would have ever saved himself or his family had he chosen to do it that way. The Bible says that God, in the book of Genesis, laid out a plan of how that ark was to be constructed. Not only did he warn him, but he directed him in how his life would be protected. It was not something that he came up with on his own. It was something that God shared with him in a very needy time of his life. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that the book that we have in our possession, the book that we're able to look at and read, is the perfect revelation of God that assists us, that enables us to live a life of detail where God can protect us from the harmful things that we encounter. It contains all that we need spiritually to survive in this life. If you choose to follow the directions of the Word of God, you'll be blessed. The song that we sometimes sing is, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we trust and obey, when you know what's in the Word of God and you decide to apply it in your life, follow its direction, then you're going to be protected by God. How does the Word of God give us useful direction? Well, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 7, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, and that doesn't just mean the preacher, but that means every child of God, every Christian, every believer, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God points us in some specific directions. God's Word tells us what is right. In that verse, it says that it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what is right. You know, our heart is so deceitful, so wicked, and so blinded by Satan that sometimes we can't see what is right. And we need the Word of God to reveal the doctrine that is right. I'm thankful that it tells us what is right. We are so sinful. We're born with the capacity to always do wrong. And we need a way that will provide an escape and give us an opportunity to choose to do what is right. And that is the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank God for the laws of our land. But thank God for the law of the Lord that converts the soul. That is perfect, that gives us the direction that is needed in our life. Not only does it tell us what is right, but it tells us what is wrong. It's profitable for reproof. That word reproof has to do with correction, discipline. God's Word tells us when we are wrong. When you're reading it and you see something in it that maybe touches a nerve in you, maybe gets you to stop and say, hey, wait a minute. That's you, and it seems like a light is being shined on that very thing. That's God's Spirit speaking to you and saying, this is what's wrong in your life. And I'm trying to reprove you. I'm trying to correct you. No one likes to be told when they're wrong. It makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? It makes us feel uneasy. I read about a preacher who was on a speaking tour, and he had a close personal friend with him, and they were walking down the street, and the name of a common friend came up, and the preacher said something unkind about that person. It was a sarcastic comment. It was very cynical. It was a put-down. And the older friend stopped the preacher, looked him eyeball to eyeball and face to face, and he said with slow words, a man who says he loves God would not say a thing like that about a friend. He could have put a knife into his ribs and not hurt him any worse. It got the preacher's attention. It spoke to him very plainly. He did what a prophet does. A prophet sometimes delivers a message that is uneasy to us and not easy to accept, not easy to digest. Sometimes it's hard for us to hear those kind of words of reproof, but sometimes it's necessary to be reproved. There are times in our life when we are going in the wrong direction. There are times in our life when we are disobedient to God. There are times when we have given in to temptation, and we need someone to remind us of what the Word of God says and be willing to get back under God's umbrella of protection. I'm thankful that God's Word tells us what is right, what is wrong, and it also tells us how to be right. It is profitable for correction. This is where God's Word, if we follow it by faith, will lead and guide us back to a righteous life. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse number 9. He said, my desire is to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. When we follow the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that he brings to our life as a result of trusting him and the Word of God that he has given us, then it will lead us toward the principles of living a righteous life before him. We'll be found in him. The only way you can please God, give glory to him with your life, is by following his Word. So God's Word gives us useful direction in telling us how to be right, and it tells us how to stay right. 2 Timothy says that it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Noah was saved, and all of his family was saved because he heard, he believed, and he obeyed God's Word by faith. And my friend, if you'll learn to lean on God, if you'll learn to trust his Word, then you and your family can be protected by him as well. It'll protect your life. I ask you the question, is your life under the umbrella of the protection of faith? Are you living by his Word? Are you obedient and compliant to what he is telling you in the precious Word that he has given us? If not, you need to determine today to sow the seeds of truth in your life through being obedient and allow the Lord to harvest the fruit of righteousness in your life. If you don't know the Lord, then you need to consider him as your Savior. If you do know him and you're being obedient to him, you ought to take the time to thank him that he gave us his Word, that he speaks to us in different ways and warns us of unseen dangers and provides useful direction in our life. Where would we be without God's guidance in our life? We'd be lost. in many ways, but thank God he provides useful direction and keeps us from the unseen dangers.